It's always good to be in the company of God's children. I want to also just say happy Father's Day to all the fathers in the audience. I'm always impressed by the fact that God presents himself as a father in the scriptures, and that ought to help us to remember just how important the work of fatherhood is. And so God bless all the fathers in the audience, and don't forget just how important what you do is. I wanted to think with you this morning about the idea of building up the Lord's church. If you will recall, we have spent some time over the past couple of weeks or months when I was with you talking about the church, the importance of the church, the position that Christ occupies with respect to the church. And I'm hoping that in your mind you are thinking about the idea that God expects us to be busy helping to build his church. You know, physical buildings don't comprise the church at all. If we didn't have one building, we would still be the church. We could meet outside in the rain today and do everything God wants done. The church is a spiritual organism. 1 Corinthians, we talked about this in the past, Paul presents the church as a collective of those who have been saved and set apart, sanctified in the body of Jesus Christ. So Christ is the head, the church is his body, and the body is a living organism. A living organism has to, by definition, it has to be active, it has to be growing, it has to be doing something, or it is in the process of dying. The church should be growing. The church should be building. When you look at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, of course, we look at those verses for several reasons, but you'll remember that Paul tells us that when Jesus went back, he led captivity captive and he gave gifts to men. And among other things, he tells us that he gave the church some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors or shepherds and teachers. Now, why did God give these gifts to men? Why did he bless the human family with these men, with these people who could invest themselves in the Lord's church? He tells us the reason. He has gifted people, of course, miraculously in days gone by, but he has gifted people specifically so that they could equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, for the building up of the Lord's church. You'll recall that in Matthew chapter 9, verses 37 and 38, Jesus takes a look at the harvest, or he's talking to his disciples, and he points them to the harvest, and he says, look at this, the harvest is plentiful. The problem is there are not enough laborers. And so we need to pray to the Father that he will send more laborers into his vineyard. Why? So that there will be some growth, so that there will be more increase. The church has to grow, or the church will be in the process of dying. I know the church can grow. The church has grown. When we look at the Bible tells us in the beginning we had 100 people or just over 100 people in the upper room. They're waiting for the church to come. And on the day of Pentecost, we have 3,000 or so who obey the gospel. And just a short time later in Acts 4 and 4, the Bible tells us 5,000 men beside women and children. Then the Bible begins to talk about the church multiplying and growing. The church can grow. It has grown. You think about the history of the church even in this country, and you can see the church has grown. There was a time not so long ago, it was the fastest growing religious group in this country. The church can grow. It has grown. And it can grow today. And what I want us to think about for just a few minutes this morning is what each of us can individually do. What each of us can individually do to help build up the Lord's church. Somebody looks at Ephesians 4 and they say, well, I'm not an apostle. All of us should say that. Well, I'm not an apostle, and so maybe that doesn't apply to me. Somebody says, well, I'm not a prophet, and so that doesn't apply to me. I'm not an evangelist, at least in the formally recognized sense. Nobody supports me to go out and preaching the gospel. I'm not an elder. That term, pastors and teachers, that's a compound term there. It's referring to the elders. And so he says, somebody says, well, I'm not an elder. There's nothing for me to do to build up the church. But did you notice, he says, that the work of those individuals is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. The saints are the ones who are supposed to be about the business of building up the Lord's church. And every one of us has a part that we can and should be playing in doing that vital work. And so this morning I want to think with you for just a bit in a very simple way, I hope a very practical way, about what we can be doing to build up the Lord's church. If you want to see the Lord's church grow, friends, you have to be about the business of talking it up and walking it up. When I say talking it up, I mean to say most new members of the Lord's church come to His body. They come to the body of Christ because of some contact they have with someone who's already a member of the body of Christ. There is no greater advertisement than a satisfied customer. When people leave and say, I have had this great experience at this restaurant or with this business, that is a tremendous advertisement for others who might be interested in a meal or some service. The same is true spiritually. There is no greater advertisement for the Lord's church than satisfied members of the same. I know that our talking, our speech can have an edifying effect. If you'll remember in Ephesians 4 and verse 29, Paul says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying or building up, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. I'm not talking about the sort of half-hearted one-liner that I sometimes hear after people get through running the church down, you know. Well, nobody's perfect, and the people in the church certainly are not perfect, and I see all kinds of problems in the church, but at least we are the body of Christ. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm saying to you that the church is special to God, and it ought to be special to us. And when I read what Jesus has to say about the imperfect people who make up the church, I see Him speaking of the church in positive, glowing terms. And when I read the epistles of the Apostle Paul, of course, he knew that people were not perfect. He often wrote in trying to help them to grow up into maturity in Christ. But when he talked about the church, he talked about the church in positive, glowing terms. Jesus would look at the ragtag bunch of disciples who came to listen to him when he preached the Sermon on the Mount, and he would say, you are the light of the world. He would say to them, a city set on a hill cannot be hid. You mean to tell me, Jesus, that this ragtag bunch of people out here listening to you in the wilderness, you mean to say they are the light of the world? Yes, ma'am, and yes, sir. That's what Jesus thought about the church. That's how he talked about it. And I'm saying you can help to build up the Lord's church when you emphasize what is good about it and about the congregation here, about the congregation where you attend. You can build the Lord's church through your speech. And every one of us ought to be doing that. You have to talk it up and you have to walk it up. When I say walk it up, I mean to say your lifestyle. It's not enough to say a thing only. People will hear what you say, but they will see what you do, and they will give more attention to what you do than what you say. In my experience, much good teaching has been undone by bad living. It's not enough for us to tell people that Jesus is Lord. We have to live our lives as if Jesus is Lord. It's not enough to talk a good talk, but we must walk a good walk also. I know that our walk, our lifestyle, I know it can help the church to grow. You remember in 1 Peter 2, the apostle there is talking about the fact that Christians are being persecuted, and he's talking about the fact that they are somewhat being treated as outcasts and so forth. He talks about them being pilgrims and all of that. Well, in 1 Peter 2, in verse number 12, he says, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may listen to this, by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Even in a culture that does not always respect what it means to be a Christian, even in a society that does not always extol the Christian virtues that we are called to, if we live right, if we conduct ourselves right, in addition to speaking the right things, some people will see that and be attracted to it. And in the day of visitation, when God comes to judge the world again, some will be in a position where they can glorify God because of our example and our influence. Our lifestyle makes a big difference for good and also for evil. You remember in Galatians 2, Peter had some difficulty, it seems, still when it came to the issue of Jewish and Gentile Christians. And Paul reflected upon that and he says, you know what? Peter didn't have any problem with those Gentile Christians until some came from James. Those Judaizers came from Jerusalem. And because of their presence and their influence, the Bible says that Peter withdrew himself from those Gentile Christians. And listen to this. And others followed his example. Listen, Peter was the one who had gone to preach to Cornelius. He was the one who had gone to explain to his Jewish brethren that God has accepted the Gentiles in Christ. He knew better. He taught better. But on this occasion, he didn't live better. And you see, his example brought the church down. What I'm suggesting to you is every one of us has the ability to work to build up the Lord's church. And I know that's true because every one of us has a mouth with which to speak, and every one of us has a life that we live. Godly living appeals to and attracts sincere people. We can walk the church up. And so I say, let's get walking. Talk it up and walk it up. Attend it up and mend it up. The Bible tells me that the assembly of the saints is designed in part to encourage, to equip the saints of God. People are supposed to be stronger when they come together in the assembly to worship God in a corporate way. Attending the services by God's design is part of edifying, building, strengthening the church of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 10 and verse 25. So don't forsake it, he says. I know some people do that, but you don't do that. In fact, what you should be doing is you should be coming together to encourage each other, to equip one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. God's judgment is coming, and we should be trying our best to help keep one another strong with that understanding. And so we attend it up. I've said this before, there's absolutely nothing good that comes from withdrawing oneself from the assembly of the church. There's absolutely nothing good that comes from it, and a lot of poor messages are sent by it. But I want you to think about this. If we choose to absent ourselves, we weaken the church directly and indirectly. One, directly, if we withdraw ourselves in the contribution that we can and should be making to the assembly, we have made the church weaker by absenting ourselves. But secondly, indirectly, if we do not attend when we can and should, we send a message to others that it's not important and dissuade them from coming as well. We strengthen the church by simply being with the church when the church does assemble. Think about the message that it sends to an unbeliever. Maybe over the course of some 30 or 40 years, they've heard some things about the Bible and they've heard some things about the church. Maybe they live in this community right here where we assemble. And maybe we've gone out and we've knocked on doors and we've sent advertisements and we've invited them to come in and we've tried to help them to understand how important all of this is. And they come and the building is half empty. What message does that communicate to them? Must not be all that important. It is important for us to attend whenever we can. It's important for us to attend every time that we can. David would say, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Psalm 122 and 1. He thought it was important to attend, and we should as well. Attend it up and mend it up. Because I suggested to you that we should say things, we should concentrate on things that are good and positive, that does not mean that we have to neglect things that are wanting in the church. I don't mean to suggest that at all. As a matter of fact, what I would say to you, if we want the church to be stronger, we should be about the business of identifying areas of weakness so that we can help to make those areas stronger. We should be trying to mend areas that need attention in the church. That's one way we can make things stronger. People who are hurting and broken because of sin, whether their own sin or somebody else's, you know, they ought to be able to assemble with the Lord's people, to be in the shadow of the Lord's church, and be made stronger as a consequence of that. In Matthew 11, verse 28, Jesus would say, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You'll find rest, he says, for your soul. There will be some healing. You'll be made stronger by being under the influence of Jesus Christ. And I'm saying in the Lord's church, it ought to be the same way. When people come together, when people are, whether it's in this building or not, when God's people come together, we ought to be about the business of trying to help and encourage and mend where people are broken and hurting. You know, we do try to do that in some ways already, and there are other ways surely that we can. But when we have people who are going out to people who are having all kinds of distress sometimes, maybe they don't have enough food to eat. Maybe sometimes they have other kinds of personal stresses and difficulties. And when you go out and you reach out to people and you say, listen, can you tell me what is happening in your life so that we can pray with you and for you? We are trying to mend people's lives. That's one way you make the church stronger. But not just individuals, you know, sometimes it's a matter of relationships. Jesus expects us in the church to mend broken relationships. Sometimes it's remarkable to me, I hear people talk about Matthew 18, verses 15 to 17 in particular, and people talk about those verses as if the point is to get rid of people. Not the point at all. No, ma'am, and no, sir. When you look at what Jesus says, he says repeatedly, the goal is to gain your brother. You see, if there's a problem between people in the congregation here, here's what we cannot do if we want the church to be stronger. We can't decide that we don't like someone, we don't like the way somebody looks, we don't like the way somebody talks, we don't like somebody's attitude, so we will always exit out of that door so we don't ever have to see them exiting out of that door. Listen, that's not how you build a strong church. Jesus says, if there is a problem, you go to your brother, listen to it, and him alone, and you have the conversation and see if you can't be reconciled. And then somebody says, well, I tried talking to her and it didn't work. I tried talking to him and it was of no benefit. Jesus says, then you go get two or three others and go and try again. See, he wants the relationship to be mended. So, well, I tried that. I grabbed one of the elders. I grabbed two sisters who had a little seasoning. We all sat down and we didn't get anywhere. Then Jesus says, you bring it to the church and you try again. See, he wants that relationship mended. Now, ultimately, if a person has such a hard heart, if a person doesn't care enough about the Lord and about his church, they're not willing to do what they can and should do to try to repair what has been broken, come out of their sin and so forth. Of course, the ultimate result may be that a person is withdrawn from or something like that, but that's not the goal. That's not the point. Jesus wants the church to be stronger, and he wants people's lives to be mended, and he wants relationships to be mended as well. Listen, you don't have to be an apostle to do that. You don't have to be a prophet to make it your business to try to make sure your relationships with people in the congregation are strong, or that when you see others with relationships that are being hindered, you do what you can to help. You don't have to be an evangelist or an elder to do that. attend the church up and mend the church up. I look at sometimes what happens in congregations around the country. Sometimes you see factions develop. Now listen, these are all human beings. Sometimes you see factions develop, and Paul spoke about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Sometimes you see rivalries develop. Sometimes you see people split because they simply cannot get on the same. Listen, they're not making the church stronger with all of that. If we want the church to be stronger, then we have to be about the business of mending it up. Attending and mending. If we want the church to be stronger, if we want to build the Lord's church, we have to preach it up and pray it up. The church grows because of preaching. Ultimately, people are converted by the word of God. We want to set a good example, yes, but we need to preach the gospel because it is the gospel that converts people to Jesus Christ. I know there is power in the preaching. I know that. You preach the whole counsel of God, Acts 20 and verse number 27. You preach it with balance. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. We don't need to pick and choose. All of it is profitable, 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. I remember in Ezra chapter 6, verse 14, the Bible there is talking about the Jews having gone back now and they are undertaking to rebuild all that has been lost there in Jerusalem, there in Israel. The Bible says the elders builded and the people prospered under the preaching of Haggai and Zechariah. See, the preaching makes a difference. Now, I'm not suggesting that in order for a person to preach the gospel, somebody has to support them financially to do it. No, but you've got to get out of the building at some point and you have to go to someone who doesn't already know it and you have to open the book divine and show them who Jesus is. Nothing less than the preached word of God can convert people to the saving of their souls. The Bible, the word of God, has to be preached in order for the church to grow, to become stronger, in order to build it. In 1 Peter 2 and 2, Peter says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, listen to it, so that you may grow thereby. The word of God helps people to grow. In Acts 20 and verse 32, Paul says, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able, listen to it, to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. He's talking to new Christians. He's talking to elders and he's saying to them, listen, the word of God will help you to grow. Preaching that is practical. It builds people up. Preaching that is personal. It builds people up. Preaching that is loving, it builds people up. And it doesn't only work from the pulpit. We preach the church up and we pray it up. You remember that Jesus in John 17, as he's about to depart from the world, he's praying for his disciples. He prays not only for the apostles, but he prays for all those who would believe because of their preaching and their work. If Jesus thought it was important to pray for the church, maybe we ought to be a follower of Jesus and also pray for the church. I know that he prayed for the church, and I can read Paul's epistles enough to know that he prayed for the church. He mentions that several times in his letters. And so we should also be praying for the church as a whole. We should be praying for this congregation in particular. So much potential, so much work that can be done, so much work that should be done. I'm telling you, we won't be able to do anything without God. And so we ought to be praying for him to help us and to bless the work of our hands. In 1 Corinthians 3, Paul talks there about the work that he was doing and the work that Apollos was doing. And he says, listen, let's not give, now this is my paraphrase here, let's not give too much attention, undue attention to the men. After all, who am I? Who is Apollos? I mean, one plants and one waters, but ultimately it is God who gives the increase. If we want to see growth, we have to be invoking God's participation, his influence, and his blessings on the work that we are doing. You can build the Lord's church. Yes, you can. You can build the Lord's church. Yes, you can. By preaching the gospel right where you are and praying fervently and consistently for the work that we are undertaking here. I know that prayer works. The effectual fervent prayers of the righteous avails much with the Father, James 5 and 16. And if it does work, then we need to be about the business of praying the church up. Preach it up, pray it up. Sing it up, and serve it up. Spiritual songs can edify the church. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 26, how is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you has a psalm, has a doctrine, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Listen to this. Let all things be done unto edifying. He says, when you come together in your assemblies, we don't have to guess about this. When you come together in your assemblies, there is singing going on. And the only thing Paul says about this is when you do it in a way that builds the church up. I don't know if you've ever had the pleasure of being in an assembly of God's people where half of them were allergic to singing. Doesn't build much up, though. But when God's people come to the assembly and every one of them has a song in their hearts and every one of them wants to extol Jesus Christ for what he has done, and when the song leader gives the cue, every one of them sings aloud because they're singing to God and not to one another, but they're lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ. Everyone in attendance is built up and edified by that kind of singing. Lift up your voice to Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you something, every one of us can do that. And see, when you do it like that, friends, it's hard to leave the assembly not being encouraged. It's hard to leave the assembly not being fortified when you have heartfelt singing like that. Does help if we know the words to the song. I've been in some settings where maybe song leader went rogue and everybody didn't know the words, couldn't participate. Organized singing, spiritual songs, extolling Jesus Christ and the victory we have in Jesus Christ, sang with heartfelt passion, that builds the church up. Serving the church up. Jesus came into the world not to be served, but to serve, he says. And he purchased to himself a people who were supposed to be zealous of good works. The scriptures call us to serve God with our hearts. We're called to serve one another. The Bible even calls us to serve those who are not Christians. Galatians 6 and 10, you remember, Paul says, as we therefore have opportunity, let us do good to all men, but especially those of the household of faith. But it's not limited to, those of the household of faith. But those of the household of faith ought to receive our first emphasis and our special attention. We build up the church by following Jesus' example of service. Jesus served those who cleaved to him. He also served those who rejected him. You remember, he died on the cross for everyone. He sacrificed himself. He served everyone. And he didn't wait. He didn't wait for people to earn it, deserve it, or appreciate it. Because he didn't come to serve. He came to be served. And I'm suggesting that that's what we ought to do. Churches, congregations ought to be looking for ways to serve. Families, individuals ought to be looking for ways to serve. When we serve according to our individual abilities, we make the church stronger. Matthew 25, verses 14 to 30, that's the point that Jesus is making. You remember, he talks about his return in Matthew 24. And in chapter 25, the first 13 verses there, he talks about the fact that people needed to be prepared for his coming, the parable of the 10 virgins. But then in verses 14 through 30, he talks about the fact that we need to be productive with whatever he has entrusted to us. We need to bring him some increase. Every one of us can make the church stronger and better by serving it up. Sing it up and serve it up. Live it up and love it up. When I say live it up, I mean to say enjoy being a Christian. In Ephesians 1 and 3, Paul says we have all spiritual blessings in Christ, in the church, in the body of Christ. We have everything we could ever hope for spiritually in Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you something, if that doesn't bring you some joy, then maybe you don't fully understand what he's trying to communicate there. In Romans chapter 8, he says, "For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Verse 18. "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day." Listen to it. "And not me only," he says, "but unto all those that love his appearing." 2 Timothy 4 and verse number 8. We have every reason to be of good cheer. If Paul could sing after being beaten and while being chained in prison, maybe we ought to be able to sing in our circumstance. I know everything isn't exactly how we want it. I know things, when we look around us, we say things are deteriorating, it's getting worse. Yes, yes, it is. But we're still in Christ. And so how can you wake up in the morning and not be cheerful? How can you go through life with a downward disposition? How can you assemble with the Lord's people and be sour about it when you have all spiritual blessings in Christ? Live it up in Christ. He expects us to be joyful because of the position that we occupy in his Son. When other people see that, I tell you something, it's contagious. Joyous Christian living, I would say to you, is not a matter of our circumstance, but it's a matter of our understanding. "As a man thinks in his heart, so is he," Proverbs 23 and 7. "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true and honest and just, whatever things are pure and lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is any praise," Philippians 4 and 8, "you think on these things." It's a matter of your disposition, not your circumstances. So live it up in Christ. "Every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of his labor. It is the gift of God." Ecclesiastes 3, verse 11 through 13. You know, there's nothing wrong with having a good time in Christ. I think sometimes people forget that. I sometimes tell people, and I'm not making this up at all, I haven't had one bad day since I became a Christian, not one. I didn't say bad things haven't happened. I didn't say people near and dear to me haven't passed away. I didn't say I haven't ever been disappointed. I haven't say I haven't ever been scared. But I've never gone to sleep at night and thought to myself, this is a bad day in Christ Jesus. Live it up and love it up. Jesus says, "By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, by the love you have one to another." We are to love God with absolutely everything we have, all of our mind, all of our strength, all of our soul. We are to love God with everything that we have. We are to love the brethren with everything that we have. We are even to love our enemies. We are to love all men. This is part of the way that we build up the Lord's church. God is love, and he loves us. That's what attracted us to him, and our love will attract others to the Lord's church. It's very inviting when you see a group of people. They don't all look the same. They're not all from the same places. They come from very different backgrounds. Some are beauty queens and some used to be. Some people, maybe they think they're still Superman, and some guys they love to talk about when they were. All I'm saying to you is people at all these different stages in their lives, all these very different backgrounds and different kinds of experiences in life, but they love each other like family. Hey, that's attractive. You build the church up that way. You keep a church strong that way. When love guides everything that you say and do, it makes the church stronger. Hey, listen, you don't have to be an apostle to do that. You don't have to go to preaching school to do that. You don't have to be an elder in the Lord's church or a deacon in the Lord's church to do that. You do that right where you are. You love the church up. If you want church to be stronger, see, if you want this congregation to be everything it can be, I'm just making some suggestions. I hope you see these things are really simple, really plain, things you can do each and every day. You don't give up on the church. You don't give over in compromise. You don't give in to the world. And you don't give out in weariness. If you want the church to grow, talk it up and walk it up. If you want the church to grow, you attend it up and mend it up. If you want the church to grow, preach it up and pray it up. Sing it up and serve it up. Live it up and love it up, and it will grow. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died for your sins. He died for mine. Because the Father loved us enough to send him, and he loved us enough to lay his life down on our behalf. If you believe that, then you'll have to make some changes, because he says all authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. If ever our will disagrees with his will, we have to change our minds, because he's not going to change his. We change our minds and we change our behavior to conform with our new minds. That's what repentance is. We confess Jesus with our mouths and we submit to him in baptism. That brings us into the Lord's church, and then we spend the rest of our days building it up. If we can help you, we would love to do that. If you'd like to be a part of the Lord's body, we'd love to help you with that. If you stand in need of our prayers, if we can help you to be stronger this morning, would you let us know how as we stand together and sing?